It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. It's guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
B-Pod Studios.
Is Felger.
Felgstradamus.
And Maz.
You're going to get anybody half decent for free.
Presented by DraftKings on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
They've got all the linemen in the game. You've got to think that they're going to run Cam. They haven't come close to stopping that play except with a one time on the 2-point conversion. If Cam comes back from this deficit, it almost does for him what Russell Wilson's win did for him over New England his rookie year. If he comes back and wins this game, people in New England are going to believe. They probably believe anyways.
This is it. Cam is going to take it himself, and he doesn't get in. And the Seahawks are going to win the game. Line up with a power formation, and you got L.J. Collier and Leno Hill are the two guys who are there.
In the game as a substitute, is going to submarine here, take out the fullback, and take out Cam at the same time. No question about it. LJ Collier in on the mix as well, but they went to their strength. New England did, and they still could not make it happen. What a game.
For our guys to hang all the way to the end and have to go all the way down to 2 seconds and no time left on the clock and the whole thing, last play of the game, is it's an extraordinary moment for football players and for a team. And, you know, you either come through or you don't. And there's so much intensity in that moment, and the guys on the field will never forget it. That was just a moment.
Oh, shut up, Pete. Week two, for crying out loud.
It was a once-in-a-lifetime kind of play. And, you know, our guys, we said a prayer after the game. And, we'll take that one with us forever.
Week two.
Seriously.
Non-conference, week two.
Freaking basically a preseason game. Crying out loud. Such a jackass.
It's a reentry Monday presented by East Boston Savings Bank. Everything from the weekend, but we're mostly Pats, Seahawks. We are going to give you a little Celtic minute off of their win Saturday night. We'll check in on Brady, but mostly it's Patriots fallout after yesterday's loss in Seattle. So we'll go back to your phones here as promised. Wayne in Yarmouth. Go ahead, Wayne.
Yeah, to answer your earlier question, Newton sure seems to be the real deal. And he's leading out there instead of whining about things after the game. But my question is on some of these short yardage third down calls. And I may be overstating this, but I don't see a lot of them working, particularly three or four instances in that game where in one a Burkhead pitch out that you and I could have sought out. And then an end around that also didn't work on a short yardage situation, totally exposed. Am I wrong, or are some of these third down calls not where they should be?
Well, your thoughts there, Murray.
Well, I think you're kind of overthinking it. Is Josh McDaniels. That pitch out, the one particular play he was just talking about to Rex Burkhead on third down, I hated that. It was I think I hated that play as much as the play call at the 1 yard line to end the game. Like, with as well as Cam Newton was throwing the ball, what are you doing there? Like, this is now two consecutive weeks, third down, especially before the first half is over. They're just trying to get too cute with the running game. Like, it just doesn't make any sense. And now that we know that Cam Newton can actually throw the ball, just do that.
Yeah, I went back and looked at it this morning because I thought, boy, Newton looked good. During the game last night, I thought he looks good on third down. He was 6 for 6.
Mm.
Now, one of them was, I think, like a 4 yard loss to Burkhead. So he didn't get it on one of them, but they went 5 for 6 when he threw. Well, they went 7 for 12 for the game.
So that's 2 for 6 when they ran it.
Yeah, right? Keep the ball in his hands. Like, they're just getting, they, I don't know. McDaniels was good. You can't be all over him because of considering how well Cam Newton threw the ball and spread it around. But I thought he got too cute at times on third down with running plays.
And in the air, they were spreading it around. I think Bird had 2 of them. Edelman had 1. Myers had 1. Burkhead had 1. You know, so on the 5 first downs they converted in the air, at least on the ones I counted, it was 4 different receivers. I mean, how do you, you know, that gives a defense a lot to think about.
Tom and Quincy, hi.
Hey, what's up, guys? Hey, Mike, I told you guys it was Friday, and I was saying I was very confident that the Pats would have a competitive game, if not win. You know, they came within the one play of winning that game. I walked away from that game pleasantly surprised because we all knew that they weren't going to run the same game plan as last week. But we also didn't expect, well, I didn't expect to have Cam Newton chucking it to all over the place for the tune of almost 400 yards. The running game is embarrassing. I'm with Tony on the old socks and blows. We need a new thing for Michelle because he is effing horrendous. He spread the ball around. And I like the fact that Harry and Jacoby Myers and Edelman blew it up because he's like the toughest little dude in the league. I walked away from that game very confident. And the AFC got a lot more interesting if you know that Cam Newton is going to play like that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Also, the tempo, too. Like, the third quarter, is hurry up, you know?
Yeah, they picked it up.
They totally picked it up. And that's, you know, that's, he's not Tom Brady, but, you know, that's what they did with Tom Brady. So, I don't know if we knew, I guess they did, that Cam Newton's capable of running that offense. And he was.
Well, that's the thing I took from it is they were confident in him, right? They were confident in him to do it. It's not like they said, we can't put him in this because he's not ready for it. Like, that was, to me, that game last night was an awakening in a lot of ways. I know they lost. I don't want to be that guy either. But that's and I know no fans are in the stands, but Seattle's a good team.
You know,
they're not a great team, but they're a good team.
You know, spread offense, hurry up with tempo, 44 attempts, 12 targets to Harry, 9 targets to Bird. I know you mentioned this earlier. You know, even Jacoby Myers, he threw to on a third down.
He did.
Which may have been his best ball of the game. We were talking about this, you know, before the show.
I hands down thought it was his best ball of the game. He put it low where only Myers could get it. That was one that reminded me of how this offense has looked the last 20 years with Brady.
That was a Brady throw.
So, you know, he threw a couple times to Izzo. Spread the ball. I mean, I didn't know that he was capable of that. I didn't think he was, frankly. Well, there it is. And, you know, I knew, though, that they would have to change their game plan, that it wouldn't be that straight, you know, high school offense from the week before. I knew they would have to throw it. I just didn't know he'd look that good doing it. Brent in Shrewsbury. Go ahead, Brent.
Hey, guys. So Cam Newton I won't list them off. You guys have computers. But if you look at his stats, him just eye test versus stats, both great. Like, throwing the ball, him running it. Besides the last play, if you're going to put blame on him, I don't know if I would or not. I'm not going to look at the film and like how the blocks were and stuff, you know. I don't know. But and besides that, Edelman was a beast, and then N'Keal Harry, I think he gets his, I don't want to call it a man card, toughness badge, whatever you want to give him, N'Keal Harry back after, you know, the hit to the smaller, you know, defensive back for taking that headshot. That was hard to watch. I used to play football. That was hard to watch for me, the replay. So catching that ball, that was a great catch.
Okay, so but I don't know if I give him his man. I'd like to see him run over those little guys and gain some yards after the catch.
And he's capable of it.
You know, I don't know, that second to last play, catches at the 1-2 yard line. Can you get in? I mean, you're a massive man. Like, muscle your way in there. Like, that's the next step. He just goes down, you know, really easy. Edelman is a badass.
Oh, man.
I mean, what a ball player.
I was getting frustrated with him because it was a drop early that kind of pissed me off.
He had a couple drops. Yep, he did.
That's now part of his game, though. I've almost come to expect him. He had 9 last year.
But he got better and better as that game went on, and he took some shots, too. Like, I'll give their receivers that. They did. They got hit last night.
Yep, but that is not sustainable. Like, that also, while a great night for him, and he is a badass, and it's the most receiving yards he's ever had in a game, he can't have a night like that week in, week out. They can't rely on him that much. We've talked about pitch counts. He has this knee issue going on. If he has that kind of night, he won't last past week 7.
It's a fair point. Danny,
I worry about that too, yeah.
Dan in Swampscott has us on hold. You can call us back, Dan. Thank you. Steve in Vermont. Hi, Steve.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
It's good. What do you got?
Hey, I got just a comment about the last call there about N'Keal Harry. I've been complaining about him since last year, this year, but I think he's a little tougher now. He took that hit over the middle, and I thought he was knocked out, first of all. I looked at my wife and said, that's bad, 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 and he stood up, got in the player's face, so I think I got a little more respect for him. Maybe he's going to tough it up and probably be better.
Okay. Well, at least the quarterback believes him, willing to work with him, support him, throw to him. Most importantly, throw to him. And, he's in Cam Newton's circle of trust. He was not in Brady's. That's how he gets better.
12 targets. 12.
Hey, Brady looked at him 12 times the entire year, and I'm talking in the meeting rooms, too. I'm talking, he addressed him more than 12 times all year?
No, please. I don't think Brady threw to him 12 times in practice. I'm crying out loud. No shot. I think Brady asked him to go get his coffee for him once, and that was it.
Paul in Worcester, go. Paul A.
Hey, Fez. Hey, I'm here. Two quick things. One, the secondary starting out in zone defense instead of man-to-man, which is really our forte. And then secondly, the tackling ability of the Patriots. That seemed to stand out to me. The Patriots seemed to get dragged for 2 or 3 yards after contact, whereas Seattle did a much better job tackling.
Okay.
I'll let you guys go.
Okay. I'll just go back to the coverage. Was there on most of those touchdowns. Gilmore was in Harry's... Metcalf's hip pocket. The Jason McCourty was right there on that kid on the pylon. That was an amazing play by that receiver. The first one was zone, I think. The guy was...
Lockett in the back of the end zone?
Yeah. And
throw was ridiculous.
Wilson's rolling this way, throwing that way through like four different guys. Like, that was a special play.
It was a bullet.
Seriously.
It was a freaking bullet to throw that ball going back across his body and hit the spot like that. It was a bullet. Holy crap, what a throw that was.
I don't think the coverage is as bad as some of the numbers would show. The last touchdown was a busted something. Like, that guy was way too open coming across the middle. But it's not like, I don't know, remember maybe 2 years ago when Gilmore first got here and guys are wide open.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I don't think it's like that.
That was against Newton, too.
Guys are getting beat one-on-one, and they're just getting beat on close plays, which doesn't make it right. I'm just telling you, I don't think they have massive issues back there. Mark in Pembroke. Go ahead, Mark.
Yes, I was wondering if I could ask Felger a question.
Yes, you may, Mark. Please, go ahead.
Cam Newton, when he kind of cowered out for the reaching for the football in the Super Bowl, did you kind of forgive him for last night when he kind of knew he was going to get buried and he still went for it on the 1 yard line? And my other question was for Maz. Do you think Tom Brady would have gotten it?
Okay, so I asked before, if Tom Brady was your quarterback last night, is that a game? Do you win, or you're not even close?
No, I think you're actually behind by a little more.
Yeah.
If it's the Brady of last year?
Yeah.
Oh, no, you're not that close.
Yeah, Brady of last year, they lose that game by double digits, because that's where it was heading with about 10 minutes left in the fourth quarter.
He would have taken off his helmet and thrown it at the bench and yelled at the offensive coordinator in the second quarter last night.
Would have given up hope throwing to those wide receivers, because he only trusted Edelman. That's
what he did in Houston. You're pissed on the second series of the game. So, like, if we're talking last year, now, Brady 10 years ago, does he win that game? Sure. Yeah. I mean, and at the end of the game, do they run a play that Brady executes? Yes. He probably has 3 or 4 options. He identifies the right one, and they nail it. Absolutely.
So, on Newton and his toughness, is he talking about the last play of the game?
I guess.
I think so, yeah.
That's what I mean. Newton's played well, and I think he's done just about everything you would want him to do. I don't know what there is to criticize him for. And if there was, I'd do it. I can't, I'm not into the dancing. He gave you a little bit of the Superman last night. Meanwhile, the clock's running and they had another play. He didn't even score. It's like, would you cut the nonsense and go back to the huddle? I mean, that's generally how I am. But I don't know. There's something about Newton's stuff this year. I don't find it as obnoxious as, I don't think it's as in your face as it was in Carolina. Maybe because there's no crowd there or something. You know what I mean? He's still doing it, What's the X thing, Murray?
That's Wakanda Forever from Black Panther.
Oh, okay. So that's, whatever. So, there's a little mustard on there, but I don't feel like it's as overt or in your face as it was in the past.
No, the only thing that's bugged me from Newton in the first 2 weeks is the pick six.
That was really telegraphed. He almost had another one.
I mean, so that bugged me. I mean, how do you not get bugged by a pick six? But I would say that about any quarterback. I mean, I think he's in the top 10 in the league in completion percentage so far. He's over 70% for the year.
What was the pick six? Why am I blanking on this?
The pass to Bird out in the left that the guy picked off in return?
No, he didn't return it.
Yeah, didn't they have a pick six?
No.
No, he just picked it off.
No.
That's what. So thank God.
I thought it was just a pick. Pick six was on the other side.
I thought I had aneurysm there for a second.
Right. No, the pick.
Yeah, he went down. Yeah, it was just a pick. The interception was bad. He missed Edelman for a touchdown. The play before that, he hit Harry down to the 1 yard line on that last drive. That could have been six right there. He was a little, little high and hard, quick, or late or something. You know, the play was there and he missed him. But other than that, I mean, I don't know. I think he's checked all the boxes. It's really hard to complain about him.
It wasn't a pick six for sure. It's Quentin Dunbar at midfield.
He went down.
I don't know what the hell I was thinking.
Okay, we're going to see if Maz is all right. We'll do a temperature check, and then we'll come back with your calls after these words.
Felger and Maz.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. Guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
If Heineken Silver was a 60-second radio ad, it'd tell you all the stuff you need to know in only 30 seconds to keep things light and refreshing. Seriously, time me. Heineken Silver, a world-class light beer that's surprisingly crisp and refreshing, made with only premium quality ingredients and just 2.9 grams of carbs and 95 calories, all without compromising on taste. Heineken Silver, all the taste, no bitter endings. Order now at Heineken.com/silver. Must be 21 and older to purchase. Enjoy Heineken responsibly. Whew, 30 seconds, that's it. Done. Peace.
Doing what they do best.
Now talk about soap opera.
Felger and Maz on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
And now with 9 seconds left,
this Harry's
second
inside.
And 10, Harry's 13. Inside, Harry, one of three receivers right, inside of Edelman and Bird. Izzo to the left. Bird get to the left of Nugent. Waits on the snap, left foot forward. He takes it. Backs up,
Harry.
Four-man rush. He throws to the five, and the catch is made inside the three. Brought down by Harry at the two. Timeout, New England, with 2 seconds to go. First and goal to go.
How does Seattle not see that? How does Seattle not see the outside external receiver kick down inside, which they never do? And he run him on a drag. He's stacked with Edelman on the right side. And Newton throws a perfect ball up to Whirling. Nikhil can get it at the one.
You know, Doughboy's been, he's grown right before everybody's eyes. And, you know, for him to gain confidence in himself, I think that's the start. And I think that's what he's doing. I think today's game was a great indication of that, what he can potentially be. But yet, through it all, he still has to keep building to become its best version of itself.
So again, you ask, how does getting worse at quarterback make your receivers better? I heard it asked over and over and over again. Like this is some sort of computer program. It's not about that. It's about trust and support and willing to work with someone and willing to throw to someone and all those sort of intangibles. You at least give it a shot. And I think you're seeing an early indication that that thing that I had thought would be better without Brady has been better without Brady.
No question.
So let's see where it goes. I mean, that only goes so far. If N'Keal Harry's limited, then he's limited. And no matter, you know, no amount of support or trust is going to make him something he's not. Same with Jacoby Myers or Damari Bird or any of these guys. But at least you give him a shot. At least you get to see what they are and what they can do. And I think that was maybe the most important takeaway from that whole game. 9 targets to Bird, 12 to Harry. Like, that's important.
21 for those two guys. Again, you add in Izzo, and who's the other one I said? Myers.
So Izzo's 2, Myers 1.
That's 24 passes to those four guys. 24. I mean, what are you going to do, throw to Edelman on every play? Brady would have targeted.
Brady would, yeah.
Yeah, and look, again, that was on a night now without James White, right? So they were going to have to... They were going to have to get other guys to step up, get some production elsewhere, and they did. That was, to me, clearly Newton has taken this kid under his wing a little bit. You can see it.
Okay, Phones again. Rick on Cape Cod. Hi, Rick.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good.
All right. Listen, seriously, you guys are talking like they won this game last night. So let's just dial it back a little bit.
I agree.
Just dial it back because let me break it down for you. This defense blows. And I'll tell you why. Last year, what happened when they started playing good competition? You can talk about that later. Last night, they played the first good team of the year and got torched, absolutely torched, 5 touchdowns by Pete Carroll and Russell Wilson. Torched. So let's dial it back, boys.
Okay.
This team is average, average at best.
I'm all for it. Let's dial it back. I hate the moral victory thing. I want nothing to do with it. So call them up and rip them. 617-779-0985. Where do you start on the second guesses? I start with the clock. I think Bill mismanaged the clock down the stretch. He should have had at least one more play. Between that long Edelman out and then missing Edelman on the skinny post, you let way too much time tick off the clock. You had a timeout in your back pocket. You should have had at least one more play. So I'm happy to pick at that one all day long, in fact, because Bill should be nailing that one. Brandon in Boston. Go ahead, Brandon.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my phone call. If I can be really quick. So, you know, like I said, the offense is predictable. So with that being said, why not do a jet sweep and see how that could have worked out? And also, if you're going to run Cam Newton in the ground, how you guys feel about this player coming back? And I want to touch on another player as well.
Quickly.
If you're going to run him so much, why not bring back LeGarrette Blount, a guy that can pick up yards and can move the chains? And our offense is screaming out, so why not target Josh Reynolds from the Rams or Michael Gallup? That's a big, deep threat. And
why are those teams getting rid of those players?
Now, Rams are 2-0, and Dallas, you know, finally won yesterday in a miracle, but they won.
Why are those teams ditching receivers?
I don't think they are.
No, you got to look at suck teams like Houston and Detroit.
Thank
try
you.
Got to deal with them.
Look, Garrett Blount, please. Would you give me a break with that crap? I mean, it'd be nice if where's this Damien Harris? So IR is supposed to be 3 weeks then?
Yeah.
So another week without him. It's clear they have no faith in Sony Michel.
You could have Harris for the Denver game, right?
Yep.
I mean, not Denver, Kansas City.
Kansas City.
And so, you know, that would be a good asset to have for that game. You're probably going to need to control the ball some in that game.
We've got Mary in Manchester. Hi, Mary.
Hi, Mike. So I thought the game was terrific last night. I know we lost, but the Patriots never gave up, and I thought that was nice to see. But my question is, why does Pete Carroll get cutesy at the end of these games? Because just like in the Super Bowl where all he had to do was just give the ball to Marshawn Lynch and run it in, why didn't they, in their last possession, just run the clock down? I mean, did they didn't have to throw the ball and let the Patriots back in. So is he intimidated by Belichick? I mean, why does he always do that?
Mary, I think he's I think he gets ahead of himself. The game speeds up on him, and he doesn't think it through or whatever. He's just – that 3rd-and-1 play was so freaking stupid, especially when you have Russell Wilson, who is just exceptional in running the football and situationally knowing when to run the ball and tucking it and even just running that read option play where he can decide whether to give it to the running back or to, you know, ride him and then keep it himself. Like, he's brilliant at that. And they don't do it a lot because they want to preserve him. But 3rd-and-1, under 2 minutes, that's the play. You pick that up, the game's over. And if you run the ball and you don't pick it up, you at least make the Patriots burn another timeout, which they don't even get down to the goal line in that case. So what are they doing? And then I'll put a little bit on Wilson, too. He can check into something else. He's got to throw it 40 yards down the field to lock it.
I mean, stupid.
I mean, ridiculous.
Yeah, my answer to Mary's question is, what is it with Pete Carroll? My answer would be, he's a jackass. That would be my answer. It is colossally stupid. So I just, to me, when you have that kind of player behind center, you give him a few options, and you say, you pick. You pick. Now, again, Wilson could have, like you said, he could have picked something else, but it felt to me like that play was, you know, loop it up there and let Lockett run under it.
Jesus. We got Curtis in the car. Hi, Curtis. You're up next with Felger and Maz.
Gentlemen, I'm so sick of the God worship in this town with Bill Belichick. You guys still cite Andy Reid for years ago mismanaging clock. You make segments out of coaches' mismanagers of clock. This guy lost the game to you last night. You should have had at least two more plays from that goal line situation. One. Two, Cam Newton, at the size that he is, you should be able to walk to the sideline, Pete Carroll, this is what we're running, and they should still not be able to stop it. And then finally, the Cam Newton stuff doesn't bother you, Felger. And also, I'll cite the coach's lack of criticism, Bill Belichick, as an example of your lack of integrity. That's why Cam Newton's bull crap don't bother you, and you don't call out Bill. You lack integrity. Good day, gentlemen.
Okay, Curtis. We've been ripping them all day for that clock management stuff. I don't know what you're talking about.
I mean, that was so unlike them. That was so unlike them.
And then to run a totally predictable play that the opponent knew was coming. So, I'm sorry. That's coaching. That's on them. We've been talking about that all day, Curtis. What are you talking about? Now, if you want to be fair, though, I mean, they just lost the greatest quarterback who ever played. And the greatest quarterback in the history of the league. And they look pretty good. You have to admit. They look pretty good. Bill the GM has a lot of problems, right? So Bill the GM has given Bill the coach not a very good cast of receivers. He's got a brand new quarterback making this massive transition from a giant in the game to a new guy who no one else wanted, and they look pretty good. They still look like the Patriots, don't they?
Yeah, and still, if you want, sorry to cut you off, but if you want to get on him for some of the GM stuff, like where are these new tight ends? I know Dalton Keene was one of the inactives yesterday, but can you maybe throw to Asiasi, or is he just suck and you're just going to use him to block?
So the GM stuff, 100%. But he does deserve credit. Big picture, this is still the Patriots. And I don't know if we thought that it would be. That's still the Patriots last night. That was a classic Patriots-Seahawks game, as if Tom Brady was your quarterback. You're the new guy, threw for almost 400 yards. I mean, so, like, you still have your team. This is still the Patriots.
I'm telling you, the rest of the league looked at that game last night and went, oh, boy, they're pretty good.
They're still here.
Can you imagine? You're like a Jets fan.
Oh, my gosh.
You just can't. You got to be kidding me.
Forget the Jets, please. It's like not even worth indulging the Jets. The rest of the league looked at that and go, uh-oh. They're not what they were with Brady, but they're still to be taken seriously. I think, to me, that was the message that came out of that game. The league is sitting there drinking today because of that.
All right, but this is it for most of the day. I do want to check in on the Celtics with their big win over the weekend. Also, Tom Brady down in Tampa. We'll do that after Big Jim Murray's update. It is a re-entry Monday, so it's everything from the weekend. Get it? Yeah, and it is presented by East Boston Savings Bank.
Maybe you're looking to finance a home mortgage, a commercial real estate property, or maybe just looking for a free checking account. Visit ebsb.com. That's East Boston Savings Bank, getting it done since 1848. Here's Murray.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. It's guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
If Heineken Silver was a 60-second radio ad, it'd tell you all the stuff you need to know in only 30 seconds to keep things light and refreshing. Seriously, time me. Heineken Silver, a world-class light beer that's surprisingly crisp and refreshing, made with only premium quality ingredients and just 2.9 grams of carbs and 95 calories, all without compromising on taste. Heineken Silver, all the taste, no bitter endings. Order now at Heineken.com/silver. Must be 21 and older to purchase. Enjoy Heineken responsibly. Whew, 30 seconds, that's it. Done. Peace.
Did they say it?
I didn't say that. Yes, you did.
Yes, they did.
Well, you said it. You said it. I can prove that you said it. You said it.
It's Felger and Mass. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Dragic, who was so big in the first two games, misses another Miami three. The clock hits triple zeros. The Celtics get Gordon Hayward back. They get their swagger back. They get their game back. And they are back in the series. They win by a final of 117-106, and the Miami lead is cut to 2-1 with 4 long days to think about it.
Ooh. And those are these some days that everybody's going to have to think about. If you think of the Celtics, the way they play early on, you can build on that. What you'll say if you're the Celtics also, you'll say, okay, what did you do really to give this, to get Miami back in this game? We must improve on that.
117-106 is the final. Celtics win game 3.
Quick Celtics minute. What did you think the other night there, Maz?
So, look, I thought it was their best game of the series for lots of reasons. And I think that people are putting too much emphasis on the Gordon Hayward part of it. Hayward was good. He was good. I mean, he didn't score a ton, but what you have when he's on the floor is a functional offensive player who makes good decisions. So that makes him better than Ogilvy right out of the gate. So, but the real reason they won that game, because they attacked. They went into the paint. They were aggressive. Instead of just sitting there on the perimeter, passing to each other and then shooting a three, they had guys take the ball into the paint, initiate contact, and make some of those guys on Miami play some real defense, like Dragic. How many times did Smart back his ass in there and flip one in and get fouled or just finish the play? So to me, that was the big difference. Like, you know, I've been listening and reading different things, and some people said, well, not that much really changed in terms of how they played, other than Hayward.
No,
bull crap.
They dominated the paint.
Bull crap. They absolutely went in there. They stuck their noses in there, went to the basket.
And if you want to say that Hayward was a factor, so I thought one of the keys for the Celtics winning this was that you had Marcus Smart on Goran Dragic for most of the night, and he was awesome on him. So Hayward was a factor in that it meant fewer minutes that Smart had to use on guys like Jimmy Butler and bigger guards. He was mostly on Dragic for most of that night, and that cut down Dragic's production. So was Hayward a factor? Yeah, just because he was basically a big, tall, warm body that was there that allowed Smart to be on Dragic. I don't think he was like an offensive. He mattered offensively, and that's why the Celtics won. Just him being back, I think, factored in, but he wasn't really truly a factor in the game.
He helped. There's no question he helped. I think the Smart on Dragic was a huge factor.
Big one.
Head of the snake.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
You know, and not that Miami's balanced and a lot of different guys go off, but I
guess I didn't realize that until Saturday night. Like, it really does run a lot through
him. I think he sets the tempo for that team. And so that was a huge adjustment there. That took too long.
Yeah, way too long. You know, that's my complaint.
And it makes sense, too. It's like Crowder should be getting... Dragic, Jay Crowder should be the lesser defensive player should draw Jay Crowder. He just stands there on the 3-point line.
Correct.
Okay. So, I mean, there's going to be a little bit of a size thing there between Crowder and Kemba Walker, but that's an easier cover for Kemba Walker than Goran Dragic, who attacks and sets tempo and gets into the lane and all of that. That should be Marcus Smart's guy. That was a good adjustment. So,
it took too long.
Tell me this, did you see a lot of love and chemistry and like all of this from the team?
Not a ton, no.
Not really. I still felt it was cold.
Yeah, you know, the high fives, the handshakes, the fist bumps, they were all sort of very businesslike. You know, like, this is what we do. You give someone a fist pump when they make a hoop. But it wasn't spirited.
I don't feel that way either.
They're not there yet.
Let's smile for the pictures and stay together for the kids. It's like, you know, you're doing your best right now. I don't think that everything was fixed.
Good way to put it, Murray.
You know, like, and we talked to Chris Gasper, and I talked during the Celtics show to Gary Washburn, and they were still having little skirmishes and stuff after that initial blow up in game two. So I don't know. I think they can quiet things down, and it's great that they were able to crawl back into this series, but I don't think that thing's over. They tried to piss the thing away at the end of this game Saturday night anyway.
They sure did. So we have no idea because they didn't face any adversity in that game. It led, you know, wire to wire, and, you know, and Miami had an off night. I mean, let's see when Miami really pressures them. And I'm not even talking about that last, you know, couple minutes where they made it interesting. I am talking about facing adversity during the middle of the game. So I don't think they're back from, like, that standpoint yet.
Me neither.
You know, or if they'll ever be.
The next one's a tough one. The next one's a tough one. So if Miami was going to let down, they're going to let down when they're up two games. They can afford to lose one. No big deal. Now, if they lose the next one, well, now you have a series. So, to me, I want to see what happens. You know, and again, this is me. I don't want to, you know, I wasn't confident in the Celtics going into game three. They played better. I give them credit for that. But that was the easier of the two. You got to win two in a row now. So, somewhere along the line, you got to win two in a row, at least. So, you know, this next one's going to be the one that's going to be difficult.
Stu, let's do the Mimecast email of the day, shall we?
Felga, I really hate you, and I think Maz is a boob.
The Mimecast email of the day. Send one to Felger at 985thesportshub.com.
Okay, so I got a good one on the Celtics, just on that very point about they were still sort of snipping at each other, and wouldn't you know it, now that I've...
This is why you need Mimecast,
Felger. Oh, my God. The email today was protected by Mimecast. Phishing, ransomware, and employees who click on bad links can put you out of business. Get protected by Mimecast, the number one email security and resilience companion for Microsoft 365. Learn more at Mimecast.com. That's M-I-M-E, Mimecast.com. Maz, while I'm looking for this, just your thoughts again on the thing from the locker room the night before and then coming back last night. You don't feel it's all over yet, do you?
No. So, look, again, I think the issue is that there's this clash at the top of their roster, and that you have a guy like Smart, who's the oldest of the young guys, and you have Tatum, who's the youngest but most talented of the new guys, and Brown's in between. And nobody knows who's really in charge. So I think you have this dynamic of Smart thinks he's the leader. Brown clearly knows everything. Tatum's not quite there yet. And so there's this clash. I think there's a little power struggle there at the top in terms of who's the man and what the identity of the team is, particularly in the key spots.
So here's Artie in Sudbury, who emails in and says, take a look at the last minute and these observations. He said, Marcus Smart made a series of questionable decisions and got rewarded for them. He was clutch and hit all of his free throws. And his head got huger, to the point that he's on the line talking crap about how he doesn't miss a big shot. On his last trip to the lane, he went 8 for 8 in the last 47 seconds. Brown and Tatum were in the backcourt complaining that they would never see the ball again in the final minute. I don't know how this guy's picking this up, but that's what he's saying. He says, then coming off the court at the buzzer, Tatum goes out of his way not to dap Smart. The whole team seemed flat leaving the court after a good win, so it is still toxic somehow. They just don't get it, and I don't see that they ever will. Maybe Brown, but that flagrant was brutal. And I love Marcus. They need his alpha, but this is what happens when your alpha isn't as talented as he thinks he is, and G. Willikers is your coach. Artie in Sudbury. It's a good email. So I didn't, not that I remembered all those specific little body language things, but I do still remember saying, it still feels flat to me. This still feels like that high five was just because you have to. Not because you mean it. There's no meaning behind it, which, again, doesn't. If they play well, it doesn't matter. Like, they don't have to like each other. That's true. They don't have to. But when things start going the other way, you know, that's when it's going
to
matter.
Yeah, I need to see more. I was encouraged. I thought that, you know, again, from a basketball standpoint, the big thing is they went to the bucket. They went to the hoop. But are they pulling for each other still, or are they secretly saying, you jackass, what'd you make that play for?
And the flagrant foul, the elbow, it's such a stupid rule. It's like every time someone has a high elbow, we have to go to the replay. And now that's the ball and two shots. When he was just trying to, I'm like, I hate it. I hate it. I hate it. I hate it. Artie says in closing, the win was a fluke. They will lose this series and they will still hate each other. It's not all the coach's fault, but at some point when your team hates one another for the third year in a row, does he have to take a little more of the blame than we're inclined to give him? And so, again, we've been over that. You know, the coach's role, he's power. If they don't trust Smart and vice versa, and whatnot, the coach isn't going to fix that. I don't think there's anything Stevens can do there.
I mean, to me, what you need there is a veteran player to come in and kick everyone in the ass. Someone with credentials that everyone respects. They, you know, again, that was partly the idea with Kyrie, but he was such a raging a-hole, no one respected him.
It was the idea with Al Horford, too, and that didn't work.
And he's never won. Okay, so there's that.
So there's your Celtics Minute. You can weigh in on that here on a Reentry Monday. We'll check in with Brady and Tampa as well coming up next in our long commercial-free segment.
Sports, Boston's home for sports, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
If Heineken Silver was a 60-second radio ad, it'd tell you all the stuff you need to know in only 30 seconds to keep things light and refreshing. Seriously, time me. Heineken Silver, a world-class light beer that's surprisingly crisp and refreshing, made with only premium quality ingredients and just 2.9 grams of carbs and 95 calories, all without compromising on taste. Heineken Silver, all the taste, no bitter endings. Order now at Heineken.com/silver. Must be 21 and older to purchase. Enjoy Heineken responsibly. Whew. 30 seconds. That's it. Done. Peace.
Felger and Mass. Way more than just a sports talk radio show.
This truly is the apocalypse.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Bucks have the ball. We lead 7-0. The line of scrimmage is the Panther 23. Here is the snap to Brady. Brady looks, pump fake, took toward the end zone, throws toward the end zone. It's a caught ball. Touchdown, Tampa Bay, Mike Evans. Boy, what a move he made. Back shoulder throw, and Evans took him one way and cut the other. Right at the pylon. Touchdown, Tampa Bay, and the cannons fire again.
And it took a shot initially, and that's what you want to do on a big sudden change. And Tom Brady gave a little shoulder pump with a stop and go, and then he threw the back shoulder accurately, so Mike Evans just had to turn around, catch it, and spin into the end zone.
I think he has a pretty good history of that, and this game should have never gotten to as close as it did, but we let him back in. But I thought he played outstanding. His leadership on the sideline was great. Put us in the right play, a number of different audibles, and played really, really well.
All right, Bruce Arians now playing nice with Tom Brady. Mass went back and watched Brady's entire game, every pass. What'd you think?
I mean, he was better, but he still wasn't great. Like, you know, I heard Aaron's comment there, and I went, well, he wasn't that good. I mean, he was better, but there's, you know, he still threw a pick. They still had a fumble. Like, there were some throws that I looked at, and the fumble was an exchange between him, and I don't remember if it was Ronald Jones or Carlos Hyde, but it was one of those two, where Brady's hand was high and the, you know, the back's hands were low, and there you go. All of a sudden, the ball's on the ground, and they lost it. Carolina sucked in this game. At one point, Tampa was up 21-0, and then it was 21-14. So they let Carolina back into the game. And, you know, now again, was it better? Yes, it was better. But they're still not there. Like, let's not delude ourselves and all of a sudden think Tampa Bay is fixed and everything's good. I mean, I give Brady a B-minus for that game. He was okay.
I think you're being fair. I said C+. That interception he threw was brutal.
Horrendous.
He overthrew Gronk, and Gronk, it still looks glacial and like he shouldn't even be playing football. They're still a dumb team. A lot of penalties. You know, if you look at the stats, it looks like they were able to run the ball. But close to 50 yards came on Leonard Fournette's garbage time run that really put it away. They can't run. I think their secondary stinks because when they did start to let the Panthers back into the game, Teddy Bridgewater was doing whatever the hell he wanted in that third quarter. They're rough to watch, man. Like, again, I'm rooting for Brady, obviously, but, oh, man, is that a stupid franchise. They are rough to have to watch.
Who's better, Patriots or Bucks?
Patriots.
Right now, the Patriots.
You think so?
Yep.
Right now.
Yeah.
Right now. Now,
well,
again,
that was quick.
No, so look, again, the Patriots are way ahead of where I thought they were, and Tampa's behind.
Just based on penalties alone. That offensive, there was no penalties on the Patriots last night, like, especially offensively, right? They didn't have any? They didn't offensively.
I mean, can I say this? If you take those two teams and flip the coaches, it's not even close. And I'm assuming that Tom and Bill are talking to each other.
Yeah.
Okay? Like, if you were to give Belichick that Tampa, I mean, that talent in Tampa, and put Arians up here, oh, forget it. Not even close.
When you see blocks in the back, holding calls, dumb DPIs, things like that, like, you're too loose. You're poorly coached. It's not a tight operation. You're seeing that with the Bucs in the first couple of weeks. They're still the Tampa Bay Bucs. The Patriots, while they have flaws, and I think, you know, especially in certain areas, linebacker, wide receiver, whatever, and they might not be able to fix those, and the offense might be limited at times. They're a tight operation. They play smart football. The Bucs don't.
I mean, the Patriots are playing better right now. If you ask me which team's got a higher ceiling, I say Tampa. So, you know, and I'm assuming they'll figure it out. But they're still not playing great. I mean, Carolina sucked yesterday. And that game was, you know, 21-14 or 21-17 before, no, 24-17 before they blew it open with that late run. But they had to hold on there.
And if it wasn't for Bridgewater's second pick, it was probably going to be 21-21. Like, when they got it to 21-7, I'm watching with the wife, I go, this ain't over. Like, because they're just a dumb football team.
Chris and Raynham, who'd you rather be right now, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers or the New England Patriots?
As of right now, it for sure looks like the Patriots are the better team. Let's not forget that the Buccaneers had like 80 drops for Brady yesterday, yeah, including two touchdowns dropped.
True.
Well, one thing I do want to say is that was a lot more fun than I ever thought it would be last night. When we lost Brady, I thought my passion for the Patriots was going to be gone and everything, and I was very impressed. But what you can't forget is that the quarterback who was supposed to take over for Tom Brady was inactive yet again last night. And that is unbelievable that how much credit Bill's going to end up getting for signing Cam Newton. One of the reasons I didn't want them to get rid of Brady is because they had no plan. They had absolutely no plan for afterwards. And now that they're Stidham's the third string quarterback, borderline not even on the team, that proves my point. So I still think that we shouldn't have gotten rid of Brady, but we got Cam, and I think this season's going to be a lot more fun than I ever anticipated.
Well, once again, Belichick lands on his feet. That didn't take long.
Oh, boy, did he's a little conflicted, though. Because he wants to love the Patriots, but he hates the coach because of what he did to Tom.
But once again, Belichick, the coach, landing on his feet after Belichick, the GM, bungles the whole thing.
For sure.
How often has that happened?
I mean, Bill can coach his way out of just about anything. It's amazing. Really. He can coach his way out of just about anything.
He mentioned the drops, too. That's really where I kind of lost it. There was it was Brady's best throw of the game. Back in the end zone, right side, to LeSean McCoy. Clangs off McCoy's hands. Even Shady McCoy, who, as a running back, his best attribute is being catching it out of the backfield. He goes to Tampa and sucks. Like, and Brady threw his arms up like, Jesus, what else do I got to do? Like, it's real loose down there, man.
It was a dart. It was a great throw. I mean, Chris was right to bring it up. McCoy was good for Brady early in that game. He was good. He was like, oh, okay, well, this is why they got McCoy, because he sucked last year in Kansas City. I thought, this guy's not going to help him, but he was good with Brady.
David Wellesley, go ahead, please.
So Belichick's a human, and he's flawed. And last night's decision to not call a timeout is most certainly an anomaly. But what bugs me is his reaction, his smug, arrogant response to when he's asked about it. And he says, I believe he said, yeah, well. And that was the extent of his response. So, you know, I hope Dan Housley is asking him about this, like, come Saturday, that it doesn't let go. And then my second point on Cam Newton is the way he played, is this sustainable? I mean, that last play on the goal line, he did like a full flip in the air after he got hit. And I just think every time, look, it's cool to watch him run, and it's so different, and it's really enjoyable. But like, how sustainable is that? Even given his size, I just don't, like, isn't it one hit away from this just ending?
Well, him and Edelman, right? Can they take the hits that they've been taking?
No.
I tell you what, I got greater confidence in Newton than I do Edelman. I mean, I'm worried about Edelman. That's a lot of hits.
I mean, they're holding Edelman out of practices. You know, like. If he plays like last night, he was awesome last night. By week 7, he'll be in the infirmary.
I mean, they're managing him, and it's week 2. It's week 2.
So overall, I think we feel good about the team and the game last night, which disgusts me that Felger and Maz is on the like moral victory train. Gross. Gross. But it's where we are. Overall, they still could have won that game. Maybe should have won that game after Pete Carroll handed it to you on a silver platter, throwing deep on 3rd and 1, the jackass. And so what situations did they blow on that last possession? I think Belichick blew one clock situation that the caller just alluded to. I want to reset that. And how'd you feel about the play call? We'll get to those two items right after Murray's 90-second update, no commercials.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing. And FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks. And all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
If Heineken Silver was a 60-second radio ad, it'd tell you all the stuff you need to know in only 30 seconds to keep things light and refreshing. Seriously, time me. Heineken Silver, a world-class light beer that's surprisingly crisp and refreshing, made with only premium quality ingredients and just 2.9 grams of carbs and 95 calories, all without compromising on taste. Heineken Silver, all the taste, no bitter endings. Order now at Heineken.com/silver. Must be 21 and older to purchase. Enjoy Heineken responsibly. Whew, 30 seconds, that's it. Done. Peace.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.